despite the fact Prahalad has been around quite a while, this is his first experience before this committee. Our standard rule is you have to be nice to him today. Next time, you don't have to be nice to him. You have to be nice to him today.
Thank you. So the
Agenda
paper 9 is a new issue related to recognition of deferred taxes on the effect of exchange rate changes. We received a submission wherein the submitter has questioned why deferred tax arising due to the effect of exchange rate changes on the tax base of non-current assets cannot be recognized outside of profit or loss. The submission is given in Appendix B, and a summary of the submission is provided in paragraphs 4 to 9 of our paper. We conducted informal outreach on this issue. The summary of responses is provided in paragraphs 16 to 25. Majority of the respondents have said that this issue is not common. However, some respondents informed us that the issue is common in some countries or in some sectors. However, they have not observed any diversity in the accounting treatment, and they seem to agree with the requirements in paragraph 41 of IS 12. After we posted our paper, we received one response which also acknowledged that the predominant accounting is as required by paragraph 41 of IS 12. However, they have also noticed an alternative treatment, although limited in their jurisdiction. Our analysis of the issue is provided in paragraphs 26 to 34. We have analyzed IAS 12 and 21. We are of the view that IAS 12 stipulates when deferred tax should be recognized outside of profit or loss, and we think this guidance do not apply to the facts and circumstances in the submission. Since the exchange differences on retranslation of tax base of non-monetary assets and or liabilities is not a transaction or event reported in the financial statements. Therefore, based on our analysis and outreach, we recommend not adding this issue to the agenda. In response to our outreach, we heard from two respondents that they have noticed some diversity in the presentation of such deferred tax in the statement of profit or loss. They observed that while most entities present the deferred tax within the income tax line, some have presented these within exchange gain or loss. In our paper, we have analyzed this issue, and we are of the view that the charge or credit arising on the application of paragraph 41 of IAS 12 is a deferred tax, and we think, therefore, it should be presented as part of the income tax line item rather than with exchange gain or loss. The tentative agenda decision that includes both the accounting and presentation aspects is given in Appendix A for your consideration. Questions to the interpretation committee are on page 12, and that is, do you agree with the staff recommendation and the tentative agenda decision? With this, I would request comments and views.
Comments? Bruce?
Thanks. Yeah, I chatted to a number of people about this who were impacted by it, and they all agreed it's an approach and they don't like it, but I didn't find anybody who didn't agree, so I agree with the conclusion drawn. On the first bit, on the disclosure bit, I had a number of clients who quite like my suggestion to now put this into the Forex line as opposed to the deferred tax line, but basically we didn't have anybody who was doing it, so in all I agreed with the approach that was taken from that. I have got some wording changes, but I think we'll get to that question too.
I agree with the staff's analysis. I think it's clear. I don't think the requester necessarily was disagreeing with that it's clear. I think they were more asking about, well, they don't like it. Can somebody change it? Now that's something we can do. So I wonder if there's somebody else who's going to address their question. But I think it's clear.
Bonnie?
I think it's clear as well. I was actually skipping to the next question, and that I think in the third paragraph, the last line where it talks about the presentation should be moved up to be the second line in that paragraph. So it talks about paragraph 79 requires disclosure of the major components of tax expense and income. We also note that presenting the deferred tax charge or credit, which is referring to the item under discussion, along with other deferred taxes is the appropriate approach, and then I think it just follows a bit better.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I agree, notwithstanding the fact that that's probably why U.S. GAAP has an exception that you don't have to do this to avoid some of this nonsense.
I was with you up to nonsense. Martin and then Sandy.
Yeah, I agree with the conclusions and also with the final wording drafted.
Sandy?
Yeah, I agree with the staff's conclusions. I agree with what Bob said, and I think we talked about this a while ago, and I think that was exactly what I felt. You don't like the answer, so let's put it to OCI, which goes back to the conceptual framework question. Is it relevant? So anyway, I agree with the staff's conclusion.
Tony?
I agree with the staff's conclusion. I think the standard's perfectly clear, and I know people don't like it, but I actually think it makes perfect sense. You're either going to pay or recover more taxes. That's just simple as that. My only comment is the last sentence of the second paragraph. I'm not sure that the conclusion is because tax bases and consequently the change in measurement are not recognised. I think it's simply because there isn't an entry anywhere else and the default position is it goes to the income statement. So I think that last sentence is actually redundant. Otherwise, I'm completely happy with it.
Bruce, last call.
The only comment I'd had was just on the drafting. Actually, was that last sentence. I was proposing just taking it out. Because as much as we're saying they're not recognised, the financial statements, the product of them is in deferred tax. And I just didn't like the sentence. I think it's going to open up questions. I just deleted.
Point taken.
We can take it.
Yeah.
John, anything to add?
No, I mean, I agree with that. I just think we probably, there seems to be too many words. I mean, it would have been, so I would have taken out in that second paragraph, I wouldn't have referred to paragraphs 58 and 61A as not applying. I think it's quite clear that paragraph 41 is right on point, so I would have only referred to that and not said anything else.
Okay, so now you would propose that we delete the last two sentences of that paragraph. That's fine, okay.
I mean, I think the question asked, I think paragraph 41 sort of answers it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't hear anybody objecting to the agenda decision. None appearing, we will proceed then.
Thank you.
See that we're nice to you.
Yeah, they are. Thanks.
You won't get it again. Okay.